On Daf Vav Amud Aleph, the Gemara has gotten up to the end of the Mishnah. The Gemara is working its way daf by daf through different piskaos of the Mishnah, different pieces of the Mishnah. Daf Vav Amud Aleph, we've reached near the end. At Sadashav Shebehen, Darkel Hazuk Shmeras Alecha. Then considering the various Avos Nezikin, the list at the beginning of the Mishnah, thinking about the fact that they're different from one another, as the middle of the Mishnah tells us, Ruachayim, no Ruachayim, Darko Eilech Lahazik, in Darko Eilech Lahazik. So, Mishnah concludes, Tzal HaShavah Shabahen, what they all have in common is Darko Lahazik, Shmiras and Alecha, and your Chayim. These are things that cause Ezek, things for which you're responsible, things for which you have to pay. Some of those are the qualities of these cases, some of those are the din of these cases. But that concept of Tzad HaShavah, so the Gemara, on Daf Vav Amud Aleph, picks up and wants to know, what was the point of saying that? On Vav Amud Aleph, the Gemara said, Lasui Mai, what's that supposed to include? What are the other cases that we haven't spoken yet? Which cases might be chayiv only because we can combine multiple others. So you have a series of Amoraim give different cases. Many Rishonim point out they're probably not arguing. They're probably each giving another suggestion. And all of them are correct. All the following cases are chayiv based on a Tzad HaShavah. So for instance, as you saw in the Seder yesterday, Abaye says, at the top of Vav and Aleph, Abaye says, La suye avno sakino maso, shehenichem rosh gago, v'naflo ruach matsuya v'hizikim. I leave a package of toilet yesterday in Shir, I leave something at the top of my roof, the wind comes by and blows it down. And it causes hezek. So the Gemara says, well, what's the case? Echidami. B'hadeitika azika maski? If it causes damage as it's falling down, I left something precariously on the edge of my roof, the wind came and blew it down, and it smashed. It fell into someone else's car window and smashed it. That's b'hadeit ka'azik hamaski. It caused hezek while it was still in transit. So that's esh. That's a pure told of esh. Esh is kol hacham urbo memon chishras alecha. This as well, kol hacham urban memon chishras alecha. The Gemara said, you're right. If it was bad, if the wind blows it and it causes damage in motion, that's pure esh. The case which is a combination with Tzad HaShavah is Basar Denayichim. After it lands. So the wind blows something off my roof and it lands in the street and comes to rest. Subsequently, that's Act 1. Act 2 is 10 minutes later, an hour later, a day later, a minute later, someone comes by and gets hurt on what's now an obstacle in the street. So the Gemara explains that's a combination of Eish and Bar. The Gemara points out, of course, as we saw on Daf Gimel as well, if I retain ownership of it, it's not going to be bar, it's going to be shar, okay? Or maybe both. That's machlokas Rav and Shmuel, but certainly, if it's garbage, I left a vase precariously on a second floor porch, bad idea. The wind comes by and blows it down and it smashes on the sidewalk. I'm not interested in keeping the shards of the vase. I don't want to retain ownership of it. I ought to go down and clean it because I'm responsible for the mess that I caused and the hazard that I created. But I don't want to retain ownership of it. It's afkarinu. So in that case, Rav and Shmuel agree that's bar, but it's not pure bar. It's a Tzad HaShavah of bar and esh. Because real bar, pure bar, I put it there. I didn't put this here. It only got there because the wind blew it down. So I harnessed the natural force of the wind in addition to my action. I put the vase on the porch, the wind blows it down, and then it stays there and is mazer. So that's a combination, Tzad HaShavah, of Eish and Bar. So the Gemara goes on to say, Bar is not Koach HaChem Urvbo. Bar I do directly. There's no natural force that's partnering with me. I say, okay. But Eish Tochi, see, from Eish you could be chayiv despite the fact that it's Koach HaChem Urvbo. By the way, indicating here that Koach HaChem Urvbo is a reason to be Mekel, right? Which again, that was another problem we had with our Gemara and Daf Gimel. Where it says, but Eish is Darko Leich L'Hazik. Bar doesn't move. Okay, well, bar tochia. So from Eish you see kol chach murva doesn't matter. From bar you see that darko le'echol hazik doesn't matter. The Eish proves that the fact that there's another natural force you're harnessing is not a reason to be pater. Bar proves that the fact that it's stationary, when it actually causes a hezek, it's stationary, that's not a reason to be mekum. The chazar adin. So this case, I left the vase on the porch and it blew down and made a mess in the street and someone got hurt, what, you're chayiv to pay. Where does the Mishnah say you're chayiv to pay? It says, that's the end of the Mishnah. Tzad HaShava Shavim. That's a Tzad HaShava of Eish and Bar. Gevalt. Rava has a different case. Rava says, 15-20 lines down, La'asuye Vavam and Alf at the star, Bar Mizgalgel Baragli Ad Baragli Behema. Talk about a different case. Where I left put a banana peel in the street, and it got kicked around by different people. Where I left a rock in the street, that people get hurt in that, and then so if I left it there and it stayed there and someone got hurt where it is, so that's mamish bar. But if it's misgalgil baragli adam baragli beimi, if it's rolling around because of the feet of people and animals in the streets, I put a rock in the street. And then as people are walking, it gets moved this way, it gets moved that way, and eventually it ends up some other spot, and someone gets hurt. That's again, Vava Medalev, Rava says, Bora Miskalgel, Baragli Adna, Baragli Behema. And the Gemara says, that's right. That is, Gemara says, well, if you're mafkirit, so Bein L'Rav, Bein L'Shmuel, it's Bar? No, because Bar, Tchilas HaSiyasol Nezek. By Bar, you put it there, and it's already there, and it causes damage in the spot where you put it. Here, I left it in spot A, and it caused damage in spot B. Borim is galgel, baragli adam, baragli behema. You have a bar that's, so to speak, rolling around through the feet of people and the feet of animals. I mean, I left a rock in the street, but then it got moved by traffic. It could happen on a highway also. An irresponsible person throws something out the window of his car or truck as he's driving down the street, driving down the highway. So if you see that rarely, but occasionally, sometimes you see people, you more like to see people littering, people throwing out cigarettes out the window. So that's, I don't know, that's not mazik, that's wrong. But let's say someone throws something out the window that can damage another car. You throw an obstacle onto the street, the guy does that. You throw something onto the, you throw your garbage out the window as you travel 55 miles an hour, and some other car, drives into that and gets dented, so that's mamish bar. But let's say you threw something out the window, then different cars moved it around, it bounced from car to car, and eventually one car was huzak by that, so that's a combination, that's a tzad hashaver. The bar says of bar and shar. And the girl has more examples. The girl goes on to the Ravadar. Barahava has an example where a guy spills his garbage and the guy opens his gutter, his sewer into the street. Maybe that's a combination of bar and shar. Going on to Baba Beza, but yet another example. I had a tree, I had a wall that was unsteady, and it fell from my property into the street. These are all examples that are not pure bar, they're not pure esh, they're not pure shar. All these cases are cases of, as the Mishnah said, tzad hashaveh. That's what tzad hashaveh is. It's a little bit like this, it's a little bit like that. So we learn it from a combination of the two. Let's say going back once again to the first case, the most classic one of all. Avno sakino maso. I didn't put it in the street. I put it on my rooftop. The wind blew it into the street. If the wind blew into the street, if the wind blew it at the victim, that's Eish. But the wind blew into the street, then the victim encounters it later. That's a tzad hashava of Eish and Bar. That's a tzad hashav. Classic case. Questions?
Right, so it seems like the tzad hashav is talking about what you have to do to prevent that, not about whether it's considered kind of nezek.
How do you mean?
Meaning the tzad hashav eshav eshav dark on the hazer, which mirror out on the lacha. So the first thing is that it seems like it would have to be a tzad hashav between all of them.
Well, what's common to both Eish and Bar is so Nadav is making a very sharp point, which is the tzad hashava the Mishnah mentions is shava to all the different mazikim. all the mazikin, maybe Karen included, maybe Karen excluded, but certainly all the other mazikin, all the avos nizakim share darker lahazak shmir asan alecha. These are things which cause damage, and you bear responsibility for these items, and as a result, you are financially on the hook. Correct. It's really sort of generalizing the common theme of all the different avos nizakim.
Let's see, that's an interesting point.
And Dav is saying, so here we're not making a tasha from all the voices, we're looking at two in particular. Good point. That's a very sensitive point. And let's remember also, by the way, just to put things into context, we had seen this Gemara already, but now it'll strike us even more. We first met Sada Shava on the previous Amud. Right? The Gemara of Heim and Beis. It began the Bab Heim and Alf, went to Heim and Beis. But the Gemara said, the truth is, think about the middle of the Mishnah, you really could have learned all that Vos Nazikin from Bar and one other. So for instance, had the Torah said, only told us Bar and Regel, I could have learned Shane from those two. I could have learned Aish from those two. Right? Or the Torah only written Bor and Aish. I could have learned Shane and Rego from those two. I could have had a Tzad HaShavah. But I don't, because this way I get to learn the unique quirks of each one. If I had a Tzad HaShavah, I never would. If I only would have known Bor and Rego, I never would have known, for instance, that a case of Aish is Potter on Tamun. That special, unique quirk. That special local din the Torah has, that when a fire burns something, you're only chai for what's visible. I wouldn't have known that if I just derived the Eish from Bar and Regal, but because they have a separate parsha of Eish in the Torah, a separate paragraph in Mishpatim, that tells not only that Eish is chayiv, but the Eish has a unique patur of Tamun. And Regal tells me, the parsha of Regal tells me, you know, the Regal is chayiv, the Regal is a unique patur of Rishus Haravim, and so forth. Yeah.
I'm struggling with the question of the CNI because I thought we were going to piggyback on the Dav.
Mm-hmm, please.
When the Mishnah talks about Tzad HaShavah, it's just talking about a defining characteristic of all four that ties all four together. It's not asking for a case which encompasses two of them. Right?
It's giving a concept, not a practice.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, exactly.
Ah, good. So Rashi, you have now uncovered the profundity of a Rashi. The first Rashi on the Sugya on Vav Amid Aleph. It's the second Rashi on Vav Amid Aleph, but it's the first Rashi on this piece of Gemara. Hatzad HaShava Shebehen Shedarkan Lahazik, which is the quote of the Mishnah, the Piska, with which the Sugya opens. Rashi says, the Mishnah said, oh, the common denominator, the common factor among all these Avos Nezikin is Darkan Lahazik, etc. So Rashi says, "Demashma af kol shadarkan lahazik shmir asan alecha." The Mishnah didn't actually spell that out, but that's what a Tzad HaShavah is always a lead up to. A Tzad HaShavah is always lead up to. Well, the common denominator among all these sources is X, and therefore any other case that has X will also have the same. That's a Tzad HaShavah is a drasha. It's not merely a statement of a concept. It's a dynamic way of deriving a new din. Just like a kal v'chomer is a midah shatar and reshus ben. If the din is like this here, therefore the din ought to be like this over there. Gezeira shava. If the din is like this over here, then the din ought to be like this over here. Tzad HaShavah also is a midah shatar and reshus ben. It's a style of drasha. It's a way of generalizing, just like we would have made a Tzad HaShavah from Bar to Regel to teach me, just as Bar and Regel are Chayiv, so too Eish is Chayiv. We don't actually make that Tzad HaShavah because actually the Torah wrote Eish separately. But the Torah didn't write every single Mazik separately. We heard about Bar and Eish and Regel and Shane and Karen and Adam. But that's it. So you're right, what Rashi is sensitive to your point. That the Gemara is assuming that we're not merely staying at Tzad HaShavah just to make an observation. It's not a sterile observation. It happens to be they all share this quality. It's a potent observation. It's a productive, I should say, observation. Therefore, that's what Tzad HaShavah is. Therefore, any other case that has these will also That's the implication. That's why the Gemara says, hey, what cases do we learn from the Tzad HaShava? In other words, and let's clarify, what the Gemara is really asking is, what case is there, what case of Nezek can you imagine which does not neatly fit as either one of the Avos Nezikin or a Tolda of one of the Avos Nezikin? Which is why the Gemara, for instance, said, if something blows off the window and smashes, something blows off the roof or the porch and smashes a car's windshield on the way down, that's not Tzad HaShava. That's a pure Tolda of Eish. Or let's say all the Toldas we had before, Daf Beis and Daf Gimel. Those are pure Toldas of one Av or another Av, and that's it. Nischakcha Bekosel Ahanasa was a pure Tolda of Shein. It's not derived from Shein and Regel or Shein and Bar. It's just plain Shein. And Avnu Sakino Maso Sheinichem Rishos Harabim is just pure Bar. You don't need anything else. What the Gemara is trying to figure out is exactly your point. The Mishnah is saying Tzad HaShava, the Gemara understands that's not merely to make an observation. That's to tell me that in addition to the fact there are Avos, which by the way imply that there are Toldos, the Gemara is now saying, well, the end of the Mishnah implies that there's a third category of torts for which you're chayiv. In addition to cases which fit, which are classified as an Av, or a case which is classified as a Toldo on the Avos, there also be cases which are chayiv because they are derived from multiple Avos together. Because they don't neatly fit into any one category, but they're chayiv because of a Tzad HaShava. That, you're right, that is the concept of this gun. I was trying to figure out, what cases are there? I mean, the Avos Nezikin told us it's so broad. So now that I'm trying to figure out, what cases are there which would be derived from a combination of the two, because they don't neatly fit into one or the other. So, for instance, Abaye says, well, I leave my vase on the porch and it blew down, but it didn't cause damage right away. It blew down and landed, and then subsequently, once the broken vase is stationary, subsequently someone gets hurt. Hiziku basar denaychi, ooh, that's not really Eish, it's not really Bar. It's not quite Eish because, after all, the Niza came to it. It's not quite Bar because you didn't yourself put it there. It was you plus the wind. So Eish alone would not be Machayev this case. Bar alone would not be Machayev this case. Comes a mission to tell me, but there's a third way to be Chayev. You might have to pay because you're an Av. You might have to pay because you're a Tolda, or you might have to pay because you are a Tzad HaShava. That's, you know, I'm glad you pointed that out. Right? And that's the profundity of that first Rashi. He's pointing out that the Gemara, in two words, Asuyemai, the Gemara is making an assumption how you read the Mishnah. We understand, it's a very warranted assumption, we understand why, that's what Tzad HaShava means. But Rashi is unpacking. The Amro read the Mishnah, we know what Tzad HaShava means. It's not just a He'ara, it's a Drasha. It's going to tell me dinim about cases I wouldn't have known otherwise. It's a Misha Tan Rashman. Now I know, well, what cases are there? So Amram said, we have plenty of suggestions. And as I said, multiple Rishonim say, there's no machlokas. Everyone agrees with everyone. Abai gave thought of one case, Rabba thought of another case. Amram say, the Rishonim discussed, did they not hear of each other, or they did hear each other, but they were adding more? Whatever it is, if you widely assume that there's no machlokas, there could be 100 examples of Tzad HaShava. Abai gave one example, Rabba gave one example, Ravada Ba'ava gave his example of the open sewage pipe, and finally Ravina gave his example of the on Dvav Amabez of the falling wall or the falling tree that falls into Rishos HaRabim, and then subsequently becomes that when you don't clear it away right away, it becomes a hazard and someone gets hurt. So these are all cases of Tzad HaShava. And what we're doing right now is incredibly important, which is really wrapping our minds around this idea of Tzad HaShava. Because we'll take some more questions, and once we wrap our mind around this idea, we're then going to begin to consider an issue, a very fundamental issue that Rishonim raised about Tzad HaShava. Yeah.
Until now, it seems like we've been reading of Tzad HaShava as a modifier of our previous Arba Avos. Meaning, we've been trying to say that how do we understand the Jabba Abba? Well, here's one half amina that we understand them. Here's the second half amina. So I needed Loharei, Loharei, Loharei. And our big grand conclusion is that Sana Shabesh Behan Shah, Darkan Razak, Shmiratan Alefa. Right? So I don't know why we're assuming this Sana Shabesh is teaching us a new case, rather practical mafkaminas in the case that already exists. Well, that was our whole Rav Baruch Ber thing, is that we learned from here that, oh, the Gemara is going to tell us that really what's Nezek all about? It's all about Shmira. It's not about Amasa, it's not about this, it's not about that, it's about Shmira. And that's what the Sada Shabesh Behan is telling us. It's defining and modifying a case that we already have. Why is the Gemara assuming here that it's bringing a completely new case or a quasi-category? Where does that assumption come from?
You're making a great point, and I think it goes in two directions. Number one, you are making an important point that the middle of the Mishnah was asking a question of why do we even need all these avos nezikin to be written? Right, that the middle of the Mishnah was the lo hare this kare that sounds like it's grappling with, well, if you wrote shor, who needed esh? If you wrote esh, why do we have to write bar? Why didn't we learn one from the other? Right? And we saw the Gemara in Daf Hey dealt with that question further and pointed out the Mishnah answered part of that question, not the whole question, because there are ways, but if I have bar, then I could learn the rest from that. Right? The Gemara said, ultimately, the answer is not only the svaras that the Mishnah gave, but more broadly, l'hilchosein. Right? And you're right to point out that the Gemara is sensitive to the fact that the end of the Mishnah isn't just continuing that conversation. I think you're right. Because who needs a Tzad HaShaveh? If the middle of the Mishnah was proving that each Av stands on its own, each Av needs to be written, done? Okay, each Av needs to be written. We're so used to the language of the Mishnah, it flows so smoothly. Ah, lo rizek rizeh, hasad shavah shebehen. But the truth is, to the extent that the middle of the Mishnah was asking, why did I need to write all of the avos nezikin? Okay, I've explained why I need to write them. But lo ri is also the way we usually open up a tzad hashavah, where a classical tzad hashavah, which is A is written, and B is written, we're not questioning why they're in the Chumash. Given that the Torah tells me A and the Torah tells me B, what do those two cases together tell me about C? And so we do this, I'm not sure if we call it regressive analysis, but we look at A and B and try to whittle away details that aren't relevant because they don't appear in the other case. And together, what do they have in common? And that's giving Mechayev potentially C. Right? So a classic lo ri'i is a setup for Tzad HaShaveh, where the Torah says X, that's given, Torah says Y, that's given, and now let's figure out if those two together power Z. Now, our Mishnah, if you just read the middle of the Mishnah alone, the lo ri'i, our Mishnah was using lo ri'i in a unique way, because it was looking at why do you even have to write all the cases that already appear in the Chumash? That was unique because it's rare for the Torah to have so many different paragraphs about fundamentally the same idea. Right? So again, what's unique about Nezikin is that Torah has so many parshas of Nezikin. Usually we're scrambling to find enough material. Here the Torah gets an embarrassment of riches. The parsha of Esh and a parsha of Bar and Shin Rego and multiple parshas of Karen and Adam. Whoa! So the Mishnah began by trying to figure out, well, what do you need all of those for? And then, but you're right, the end of the Mishnah is once we get Tzad HaShaveh, it's just classic Tzad HaShaveh. Given that these paragraphs appear in the Chumash, so how do I expand that to other cases? Because if we're just dealing with why do I need all those parashios, you don't need to say Tzad HaShaveh Shabbat, right? So the Mishnah sort of appropriated the language of lo ri'i to use in a unique way to ask why these parshas even appear in the Chumash. And we dealt with that. But the fact that we move on to say Hatzad HaShaveh Shebehen, which is where lo ri'i usually ends up, at that point we're no longer grappling with the kasha, the problem of how come these are in Chumash. Now we're grappling with the she'ela, a question of what other cases are there out there that might also be chai. But I think you're right to notice that. We've shifted gears. We're no longer bothered. It's no longer a kasha. Like that was a that lower e was a in addition to a shayla was a kasha. How come the Torah has so many cases? Who needs it? You could have gotten away without it. Are they superfluous? Why do you have to write Eish also? So at that point, Mishnah was still handling with a kasha. Kasha's done. But now we move on to the next stage, which is a shayla. Given that we have all these cases, how do we expand them? So we already said that the mashmaos of the first word of the Mishnah is that they are toldos. That's what the Gemara had said. Avos b'chal dekah. We didn't call them arba nezikin. We called them arba avos nezikin. That told me that they are toldos. Now apparently the Mishnah is telling me there's a yet another dimension of expanding the chiyuv nezikin, and that's to these hybrid cases. Oh, it's hanashava veishim bar. It's hanashava bar and shark. Now you were raising another interesting question, which is, well, why did Sashal and Eish Bar suppose it's Sashal and anything? Let's hold on that for a second. But first, a word from our sponsor, Mr. Shlush.
So you said before that the case of Abu Sakano Sakino Maso is a case where someone leaves it on a roof. If it falls off the roof from a normal wind and it hits someone, that would be Eish. And if it's left on the floor, it would be a mixture of Eish and Bar.
Right.
So I don't see how that's true, because as soon as if it falls off and hits someone in the head, that's Eish. But if it once it's sitting on the floor, Eish is gone. It's now only Bor. You can't say it's a mixture of Sada Shavit of both cases. Once that thing's sitting on the floor, it is 100% of Bor. It doesn't make a difference to anything else that happened before.
I'm gonna rename you Usher. If you don't mind. Because you were just Mechavim to the Rush. With incredible formulation. Gewaldig. And let's come back, we'll take more questions afterwards. Let's come back to Nadav's point and let's weave these two together. You see, you're thinking about some of these hybrid cases, right? So again, you have cases of Shachai because they're in the Chumash, whether it's my Shardet gourd or my shard that chewed, whether it's my rabbit that chewed, that's my mishnah, right? Then we have this chakba called sahanasa, that's a tolda. And then we have the hybrid case. The Gemara says, oh, this case is Eish and Bar, and these three cases are Bar and Shar. Sure. So you're asking, well, what do we mean the Tasha of these in particular? Let me ask you a question. Let's take it the other way, and we'll come back to what Michal Asher Shlush, he said it. I won't go so far as to rename your father the heel, but we will rename him Asher for that, as a mark of distinction. The Rosh was named Asher in the heel.
Shouldn't that be Rosh? Rosh. Copyright infringement.
Stop this.
Let's talk about this classic case. I have a vase or a vase, depending on what part of the country you're from. I have a vase, glass vase on the porch. I want to decorate the porch. I put out flowers, glass vases. It just wasn't so smart because they weren't properly reinforced and stabilized, and they end up blowing off the roof. Baruch Hashem, they didn't land on anyone's head. Baruch Hashem, it didn't cause any property damage. Baruch Hashem. I should have gone down and taken responsibility and cleaned it up. I didn't. I'll do it tomorrow. Incredibly irresponsible. Incredibly irresponsible. To the point where I will owe money for that irresponsibility. I will owe money for that avera. I was poshe on my chiyashmir. Right? There's broken glass down there because I put it up on the roof, and the wind worked with me to get it down. There koach acher meurvbo. There was another koach, a natural koach of the wind, which was blended with my koach. I put it there, the wind blew it down, and now it's down there. And now there's shattered glass on the sidewalk. So he said, where do we learn it from? It's not exactly Eish, it's not exactly Bar. Instead, it's Eish Bar, right? Okay, Sada Shavet. So now we know, that Eish is Pater on Tamun. Eish is Pater on Tamun, right? So would you say that the broken glass is Pater on Tamun? Eish, Bar, is Pater on Kalim. Would you say that the broken glass is Pater on Kalim? Let me put it differently. Could this case, which is derived from both Eish and Bar combined, you need both Eish and Bar to derive the Chiyuv in this case, could this case be more Chamur than either of its parents? Right? In the past, we had a single parent case. I don't mean in a family sense, but I mean a Tolda of one Av, and now it's a Tolda of two Avos. It's a Tolda of a combination of Eish and Bar. So is it logically possible that this case could be more Chayiv than Eish, or more Chayiv than Bar? So what would you say? What would you say?
Take on the chumras of both.
Take on the chumras of both.
No,
you mean the coolers of both.
The coolers of both, the chumras of both. I only know that it's chayiv because Eish is chayiv and Bar is chayiv. So could it be chayiv in a case where Eish is potter? Eish is chayiv on non-tamun. Bar is chayiv on non-kalim.
Proves that aspect is not a disqualification.
Oh, you're certainly chayiv in this case, but maybe the only chayiv in this case, we had a marker, where thinking Venn diagrams, you're only chayiv in the sort of case where both Eish and Bar would be chayiv.
More recessive.
Whew! Right. Come on, Eish. Eish and Bar together tell me that Avno, Sakino, Umaso, where Hiziku, Basar, Denaichi, if this is Chayiv, and this is Chayiv, then this is Chayiv. Right? Now, are they really Chayiv? Well, Eish is Chayiv in all of these cases. This is a case where Eish is Chayiv. But if it's Tamun, if it's hidden and packaged inside something else, then you would not be. If there's something in the haystack and the fire burns the haystack as well as stuff inside the haystack, you're chayiv in the haystack, you're not chayiv in whatever was hidden inside. Meanwhile, would be a better way. Bar is Pater on Kalim. Looking at Bar is Pater on Kalim, but Chayiv on Behemoth, Chayiv on a person if he got damaged. Eish is Chayiv if something is not Tamar, something is Begalwe. But Pater if it's Tamar. So Bar is always chayiv if it's Adam or Behema, even if the Adam was Tamun.
Okay.
The animal was Tamun. Eish is always chayiv if it's Eino Tamun, if it's Golan. But Eish is Pater if it's Tamun. Bar is Pater. It's Kale.
This is like when
But Eish is not always chayiv, and Bar is not always chayiv. This case is derived from those two. It can't be any more chamor than your source. You're a combination of the two. So the Rush says, if the chart was helpful, I'm glad. If the chart threw you off, I apologize.
This is like a Punnett square.
It's a
Punnett square.
Okay.
I'm telling you, this is exactly Rafi.
Yeah, it's not
wrong. It is,
but
it doesn't. It's not relevant, but it's not wrong.
So the Rush says, there were Gedolim. Yesh mina Gedolim, fascinating language. Yesh mina Gedolim sounds like he respects the people who say it. But he's about to vehemently disagree, so he doesn't want to name them because that would be disrespectful to them. because he thinks that what they said here is absolutely wrong. So Derech Kavod, he says, there were great people who happened to say the following. Yesh mina gedolim shekos v'dol mechayv ol mashachayv b'shneim. Here we are in the rush. You saw this yesterday in Seder. Halfway through Siman Aleph. You didn't see this yesterday?
We did not.
How many people saw this rush? Show me. Wow. Other people spoke to me about this rush during Seder yesterday, but didn't raise their hands just now. Which is fascinating. Which is fascinating. So we're going to read a little bit of this rush, and then we'll head to the Beis HaMikdash. Have a chance to digest this rush, and in Mitzvah Shem next time we'll have a chance to put the pieces together and see where this rush takes us. Because as you're seeing, the core material itself, the Gemara and Davav, the concept of Tzad HaShaveh, and the question the rush raises, is in and of itself incredibly valuable, and a lot going on to digest. So let's see the rush itself. You have a chance to go back to the smash afterwards and digest. The next time we'll be able to think about, once we've digested the rush on his own terms, we'll have a chance to see where the rush and Michal Shlush might take us. V'yesh min ha'gedolim shekasvu, halfway through Siman Aleph of the rush. If you're using an old-fashioned Gemara as I am, it's kuf daf kuf chav al the bottom of column one. V'yesh min ha'gedolim shekasvu, delo mechayev ela mashachayev b'shnehem. In these cases, this is right after the daf vav amid aleph in the rush. He quotes the Gemara, Tzad HaShaveh Shebohem. Some wrote that you're only chayv on what's chayv on both. Upetiri minizke adam, minizke kel misas adam, kemo bar, umitamun, kemo eish. There cannot be this case of, for instance, Avin Sakir Maso, cannot be more chamor than either of its generators. Because it's only chayiv because of a combination of the two. Well, bor is only chayiv on non-kalim. Eish is only chayiv on galui, not tamun. So the only cases where this could be chayiv is where it's both not tamun and not kalim. The asuba mahatzad. Since this case comes from a tzad hashaveh, mahatzad, yahavin lohu hakal shebishneim. So you have to be mekel like both. It can't be more chamer. How could it be chayiv in a case where Eish is pater? How could it be chayiv in a case where Bar is pater? Its whole chiv is only rooted in combining these two. As the Gemara said, Eish alone doesn't include this case. Bar alone doesn't include this case. It's only the combination of the two. So he says, Yesh min ha'gedolim, there were great Rishonim, the Rush writes. The Rush lives in the 1300s at the end of the period of the Bali Atosos. So he's looking back at earlier Rishonim and saying, look, there were some great Rishonim who believed that you're only chayiv, it's a tzad hashaveh. So you're only chayiv in a case that's both source cases, both parent cases would be chayiv. Seems eminently reasonable. The yesh, shenistapku b'davar. A second group of Rishonim weren't sure. They said, maybe we should say like the first category, or maybe not. Not sure if you make a like both. Why aren't you sure? But it gets worse, because the Rush himself totally rejects it. V'li nireh d'chol din bor yesh lehem. The Rush says, no. The Rush says exactly what Michal said. They're a pure bar. You're make a like bar, you're machma like bar, it's just plain bar. Really? I don't care, the Rush says, about the fact that Eish is pater on Tamun. You could be chayiv on Tamun for this hybrid case. He has a very, very clever proof. The Rush, because he says, after all, Shein v'regel are putter in Rishus HaRabim. and yet the other three Tzad HaShava cases are all Bar and Shar. The other three Tzad HaShava cases, the Bar Mezgal, Rav Yeldon, Rav Lebehema, or the guy who lets his sewage flow into the street, the guy who lets his decrepit wall or decaying tree fall into the street. The guard said the first case was Eish and Bar. The other three were Shar and Bar. And yet Shar, Shein V'Regel, is Patur Rishos HaRabim. These are all cases of Rishos HaRabim. So the Rosh says, you can't say they were Mekel like both.
What's Patur Rishos HaRabim?
Shein V'Regel is Patur Rishos HaRabim. And yet the case where you leave a rock in Rishos HaRabim and people kick it around, we said it was a Tzad HaShava of Bar and Shar.
So clearly we're going like Bar.
So he says, clearly it's Bar wins, it's just Bar. So now that is what we would call, he's proven the fact, he hasn't explained why. At this point, the Yesh Min HaGedolim, very logical, the Rush the Rush is saying, well, but the Gemara clearly doesn't indicate the way. Okay, so you prove that your Shita is correct, but why is it true? So let's read a little bit more, and then I'm glad to take more questions. Hilkach Nireh, the Rush writes, it therefore seems to me, I can demonstrate from the Gemara that we're only treating like Bar, but why? So here, the Rush speaks in language that's along the lines of what Michal was telling us before. So Michal was Mechavin to this Rush. Language that we need to chew over, and you're very soon have a chance to chew this over with your Chavrusa. Hilkach nira de iker tamuda humi bar lechudin. The Rush says it's not really a hybrid of the two. It's basically bar. The bar gamorhim. It's really bar. Avna sakina maso baser denaychi. It's the stuff that you left there, now it landed. That's bar. Or bar mezgalgel. Kozvin shavash zarabah. All the other cases, I put a rock in the street, it got kicked around. My wall fell down, my tree decayed and fell over, fell into the street. Hiziku baser denaychi, they caused damage after they landed. Or, poskim bivoseim, you emptied your sewage into the street, and then it caused damage. The kaimel on kai, the bar gamru, all those cases, all four cases, are really bar. Ella, delamotzinu lemelaf, mi bar luchudeh. It's just that we can't learn from bar alone. It's basically bar. But there's a problem. Lo dami legamri lebar b'tchilas asiyas l'nezek. Or kochach murben. It's basically bar, but it has a weakness. It's a bar, but the wind contributed. It's a bar, but it didn't start there. So it's a bar prime. It's a bar sub one. It's a bar with a twist. So the Rush says, we need some other case to show me that this could still be called bar. Hutzrach lahavi yochich mishar nizik and shein lechalak b'neim. Gam elu lo yotzu miklal bar b'shvil elu pirchus. Ubar gamru v'chol din bar lehem kulos v'chumros. V'levin lo kulos shal eish v'regal. Again, what does the Rush say? Rush says something radical that we need to digest and think about. The Rush says... The Rush said, and Asher Michal Shlush got us ready for this. The Rush says, it's a Tzad HaShava, but it's not like an even Tzad HaShava. It's like bar, it's like an assist. It's bar, and H gives an assist. It's bar, and Shein V'Regel gives an assist. Shein V'Regel proved that this could still be bar. H proves that this could still be bar. But it's not even. It's like it's basically bar and Aish helps out. What? Avnu sakino masal. That's the final case. So the Rush has something pretty intriguing. The Rosh says, these are all four bor toldos of bar. That's what it sounds like. They're all basically bar. Lahaka lahachmer. They're basically bar. I needed Aish also. Says, well, I need Aish to help out, to give an assist. But basically, it's bar. You want to know what it is? When all the dust settles, the Rosh says, it's basically bar. And that's why it'll be bar lahakel lahachmer. It'll be a bar, therefore, your pater on Kalim, but it'll also be a bar, therefore, your chayiv in Rishos HaRabim, unlike Shein Regal. It'll be a bar, and therefore, your chayiv on Tamun, unlike Ish. Now, this is intriguing. It does, the Rosh wanted to prove that these cases are chayiv Rishos HaRabim. How could that be? So the answer of Rosh is, oh yeah, it doesn't have the coolest of both. He gave an interesting explanation. He also spoke to Nadav's point from before. I mean, it's not just Tzara Shava from everything. It's basically just Bar. And that's why we care to point out who it was. Because it's basically just Bar. According to Yesh Menagadolim, it's Bar and Yesh together. But of course the question is, how did the answer the question? What do you mean, it's basically bar by need Eish also? I mean, it's only chayiv because of both. It's only chayiv because of both Eish and bar. So the fundamental logic, the Rosh gave a brilliant, fancy, flashy way of looking at it. But if you keep your nose to the ground, you say, well, how did that work exactly? I don't understand. From bar alone, I would not know that this case is chayiv. From Eish alone, I would not know this case is chayiv. I only know this case is chayiv because I'm applying the combined force of both Bar and Eish in figure proving this case is chayiv. So, whatever you want to tell me, a Bar is the main thing, what's going on? The problem with the Rosh is what do you mean? But how did you game the system? How did this manage to be more chumer than Eish? It wouldn't have been chayiv without Eish. So how is it more chumer than Eish? It's only chayiv because Eish is chayiv. So how could it have more chiyuv power than Eish has? How could it have more chiyuv power than Shor has? The chiyuv is built on both. The chiyuv is built on both. You want to end with a kasha and think about it for tomorrow? You want to end with the beginning of an answer? Think about it for tomorrow. Choose your own adventure. I stay with Kasha? Okay. Being the answer will be harder. So here's what we have so far. That was a very wise and mature. Both answers would have been good, but that answer showed a lot of maturity. So let's stick with what we have for us. We did a lot this morning. Number one, we dove into the Gemara in Davav on the Maamar Kamos. If you didn't yet see it thoroughly, I strongly suggest you do. The Gemara Kishela Atzmo is you need to see. And it gets you thinking about this whole concept, again, what appears to be a third estate, a third set of cases which are chayiv in Ezekiel. There's others, there's toldos, and there's tzara shava. That's how we would have read the situation. And we get a chance to think in a sophisticated way about Dav Hei and Dav Av, which is the joy of Chazara. Now we return to Dav Hei, which we had seen earlier in the year, with new perspective. Now things are starting to fall into place. And we're looking back at the three segments of the Mishnah with new perspective. The middle of the Mishnah was raising a kasha, why all these psukim written. But the end of the Mishnah is already going beyond to say, now that all these psukim are written, what other case does it generate? And that was that Rashi at the top of Vav Amenal. And the Gemara responds, oh, there are cases which are Tzad Hashav. Right? There are cases which are this is sort of this third category of chiyuve nezikin. Not avos, not toldos, but not toldos of any one of, but tzad hashav. But then the Rosh got us thinking about an interesting question. That offhand you would have said, if it's only chayiv, if avos akidim aso is only chayiv because Eish is chayiv and bar is chayiv, then it can't be more chayiv than Eish or than bar. It should be limited to cases where both of those are chayiv. That's what you would have imagined. That's what seems logical. Now the Rosh says, and he says, there were gedolim who said that. So one thing you could think about and work on is, who are these gedolim? Have I found any Rishonim who indeed argue the first way? And the answer is yes, you have seen these Rishonim. Find them. Which Rishonim say what seems to be the simple, logical approach? If it's only chayiv because of both, then how could it be more chayiv than either of its sources? You can't pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You can't be more chayiv than whatever generated you. If you're only chayiv because of the combined effort of chiyuv esh and chiyuv bar, how could you be chayiv in a case where those aren't both chayiv? That's the yesh menag gadol. So that's the chor of the pashtos. Which Rishonim have you seen who said that? We saw earlier in the year Rishonim who said that, and you'll find Rishonim in these Ma'ar Makamos who say that. Simple, logical approach. The Rosh says, but I don't think the facts are true. Okay, that's a problem. I think I can show that these cases are chayiv where shor is pater. So the Rosh tried to explain it. We need to figure out what exactly was his explanation. Well, it's not really a hybrid, it's basically bar, and the other one is just giving an assist. This proves that this case is bar. What does that mean? Well, the Maisa, it's only chayiv because Eish is chayiv. So you have to think about that some more. Again, the Gemara, the Tzad HaShava, and the question the Rosh raises about what's the status of this Tzad HaShava. And let's just remember, normally, B'chol Torah Kula, the Eish Menag Gedolim would be incontrovertibly correct. A normal Tzad HaShava B'chol Torah Kula, you're only chayiv in the case where both of your source cases are chayiv. So the Yesh Menag Gedolim are in the default position here. The Rosh is saying, Avos Nezikin somehow work differently than Kol Torah Kula. And that makes you wonder, well, what's going on? So the Rosh tried to say, well, it's basically bar. Eish is just proving this is also bar. It's basically bar. But Shor is just proving this case is also bar. What does this mean? So the Rosh is saying, well, the Gemara seems to indicate that way. And there are other Gemaras also, that a lot of Gemaras, once we open our eyes, they seem to indicate that in the Tzad HaShava of different Avos, it really basically has the status of just one Av. But why would that be true? So that's the first thing we want to do between now and the next year, is to figure, A, just to sink in even more fully into the world of Tzad HaShava, and to consider the Rosh, and to see who else, which Rishonim are on record as saying the first approach in the Rosh, and to try to appreciate what the Rosh himself is saying. How is he explaining why you would disagree? If you want to, extra credit, you can even begin, if you've already done that, if you worked through the Tzad HaShava and worked through the other Rishonim, and thought through the Rosh, you could even then begin to dream more broadly of how could this Rush type of thinking, if I figure out what the Rush is saying, how might it help me in other cases also? Or other problems that we had with our sugya might yield to a solution once I crack the riddle of this Rush. So this Rush is really sort of like the linchpin of a lot of what's going on. That's really what we're going to see. And that's part of why this is our closing sugya, and wrapping up Ion on the first four or five blot of the parrot. Because this is really going to bring everything together. Figure out this Rosh, a lot of things are going to fall into place. The whole study of Avos and Toldos will fall into place in a whole new way once we figure out what is this Rosh trying to tell us. So we're going to see the dominoes will begin to fall in a very satisfying way. But the first thing to do, we head to Beis Medrash right now. I'm glad to take more questions downstairs. At the Beis Medrash right now, let's start to rip apart the Gemara and the Rosh and see where it takes us.